Hey, influencer, welcome to part one of our interview with Steve Toth. And Steve is the content marketing manager at TechWise, a Toronto-based internet marketing agency. He helps create internet marketing strategies for the agency and for their clients. And Steve, during his career, has done everything in marketing from word of mouth to social media for major label artists to content marketing for publicly traded companies and doctors. And today, in part one of this interview, you'll get to hear what changed in SEO in the last 10 years and why SEO, search engine optimization, today is more expensive than it used to be. We also talked about how to use content marketing to create credibility and how to distribute content on your site for best results in terms of SEO. We also talked about how to create an effective blogging strategy and how to differentiate yourself from your competition in your content marketing and what not to do in a blog post. Steve also shared how to repurpose old content the right way to keep adding value and who should do the blogging at your company. So without any further ado, here's Steve Toth. This is Esther Kish.
And this is Meta Muller.
And you just caught the latest episode of Born to Influence, the marketing show.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, Matt?
Good.
I'm well on this chilly morning in Toronto.
Oh, I'm glad you're chilly as well, because so am I here in Denmark. I think we're almost the same kind of weather wise. So
yeah, it's so not even winter yet.
Yeah, exactly. Good stuff. All right, so Steve, you know, to those people who don't know you or TechWise, why don't you give us a bit of an introduction? Who are you? Who is TechWise? How did you get started in marketing? You know, just take it away.
Yeah, sure. So my name's Steve, obviously, and my entry into marketing wasn't really a master plan, so to speak. It was kind of something that, I did the university thing, made my parents happy with that, and then kind of graduated and wasn't sure what to do with my liberal arts degree. So I actually took a job working for a word of mouth marketing company at first, just delivering sort of little gift packs to different influencers that they had identified. And then actually I stopped delivering for them and actually started working for them and helping identify those influencers. So that was back in 2006 or so. And that really sort of sparked my interest in marketing. So after that was done for about a year, I decided to go to a really well-known copywriting program at Humber College, which required a university degree. So again, that was another thing that made my parents happy. And that was called the Advertising Copywriting Program at Humber College. And I learned from some amazing people there. One of my professors is now the Chief Creative Officer of Ogilvy One. So it was really amazing to have that kind of, expertise at my whim at that point. And then after graduating from Humber, I got a job in social media marketing, doing sort of Facebook page management, at the time MySpace management, for bands, for the Universal Music Label and EMI. So that was just my real entry into social media, and that was pretty interesting. I learned a lot in that year. And then sort of went into copywriting, and now I'm really, neck deep in internet marketing, and I actually love it. So I've been at TechWise for about 2.5 years, and my role from there actually has evolved from social media more into content marketing now, but I absolutely love it. I think SEO is like the most amazing thing, and all inbound marketing really excites me. So that's me in a nutshell.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit more about TechWise as well.
So TechWise is an internet marketing agency. We've been around for 12 years, which is a long time in our industry. And we sort of have a few major focus areas. One would be SEO, search engine optimization, which has changed so much in the last 12 years, and that's actually why I love it so much, because you're always needing to innovate. We also focus on paid search, which includes, you know, obviously Google AdWords, Facebook advertising, even Bing advertising as well, and you know, a few others too. And then we also have a social media arm, which does social media management for clients. And then of course there's like the analytics side, where we measure and track all you know, incoming leads and try to attribute ROI to our different channels. And we do that with a tool that we created called AdLoosh.
Mm-hmm. So what has changed? What has changed in all these years of marketing? You know, let's just go 10 years back for that sake, if you remember that. What has changed? And especially let's get into SEO, because honestly, I'm not personally a big SEO fan. It's just too slow for me. So what has changed in SEO, and what's the power of SEO today?
Well, it's changed a lot. I mean, if you want to go back 10 years, there was really hardly any such thing as a SEO agency, really meeting, you know, having a group of people working on a common goal to help a business rank for a multitude of terms, not just their brand name. And so, you know, those days are gone. I mean, you would have been able to 10 years ago to start an agency, you know, a service yourself, go out there and create a bunch of links and, you know, rank a page relatively quickly without a lot of effort. It's gotten a lot more expensive to do, you know, because it needs more manual labor now. And it is just, you know, Google itself, like, really, their, you know, core product is search, right? So they want to be able to return relevant results. It's even hard for us, for a lot of us, to remember going to Google, say, even 5 years ago, typing in a result and then just having to sort through page after page to finally find the thing that you're looking for. And now that seems so commonplace, where we just, you know, expect it on the first page, if not the first result, exactly what we want. And we find Google delivering that a lot of the time. So, you know, and the way Google has done this is through their algorithm updates. So they've changed the way that they weight pages you know, sort of attribute authority to pages and relevance. They've gotten so much better at that, and the system is much harder to game, and that's why we don't see a lot of these like one-man shop SEO kind of things operating anymore, or starting to fizzle out now.
So what you're saying as well is, or what I'm hearing you say, is that SEO, it needs to be part of a larger marketing strategy, correct?
Oh yeah, definitely. That's, you know, a lot of our clients, we say to them, like, if you're not doing any other offline, or, you know, if you're not on Facebook, if you're not doing paid search to target the terms that you're not ranking for, if you're not doing, you know, what is obviously within your budget to do radio or a billboard or some word of mouth marketing, you're not going to succeed, because people need to know about you from different angles, right? It's not just SEO, like, people don't just search for, you know, who's the closest dentist in my area, and I'm just going to click on the first result. They may have driven by you. They may want to read reviews about you. They may want to go into more detail about what they're searching for, not simply dentist. You know, maybe they want to get veneers done and they want a page that's super relevant to that. So it has to be, back to your question, you know, it really benefits from a wider sort of marketing strategy, and SEO being one part of that.
And what exactly, I mean, aside from the fact that we are found on Google, correct? Because that also requires that you know, people are typing something quite concrete in, and then they find you and so forth. But aside from being found on Google, what else is SEO? And, you know, let's sort of move on to content marketing here. What else is it good for? Why else do we need to be doing that in order to really get out there and promote our businesses in a better way?
Sure. So let's say that you know, somebody's searching for your business and they've never heard of you before, right? Mm-hmm. You have to establish a number of things. You know, are you local? Is your website easy to use? Can they find what they're looking for on your website? Can they drill down a little bit deeper and find, you know, the content that they want? Like, for example, something a little bit deeper, like I use the dentist example, you know, crowns or whatever it may be. But really what content marketing, the role that it can play in this is to earn trust from your visitors. And I'm a huge proponent of Jay Baer's book, Utility. I thought that was one of the, you know, the best marketing books I've read in a long time. And in it, he says that somebody who has, you know, been through, you know, multiple pages on your website is actually more likely to convert as a lead as someone who just went to one page on your website, filled out a form, or called you. Their rate of success for actually closing is much, much lower than somebody who's actually gone around your site and read, you know, what you have to offer.
So what are we putting on our website? What are we doing in terms of content?
Okay, so I'll start with the main page, and then I'll move into my favorite thing, which is blogging. So
yeah.
In the main page, you know, you can have your homepage, and it can speak to, say you had four different service areas, like you were TechWise, and you said, we do SEO, we do paid search, we do Facebook advertising, and we do social media. You know, we could have all of that on one page. But it's not likely to show to users, because if Google served up that page, you know, it would have all this different information on it, and it's the page itself, its focus is, you know, sort of dispersed, and you don't have that really relevant result. So on your website, what I'd encourage you to do is, for your different services, is to really build out different pages just to focus on that term. So when somebody is searching for paid search Toronto, for example, you know, they're not likely to just get our homepage. They're going to get a page that really talks about paid search. Mm-hmm. And when you're creating those pages, one of the things that I always tell clients, and as the content marketing manager, we produce content for this as well, is to take a look at your competition. Take a look at the people who are ranking for those terms already. You know, open all those top 10 results in a tab and really analyze and see what they're saying. And then your job as a marketer there is to just go and outdo them. Just go above and beyond. Like, just make the content so much better than theirs. Add pictures, add videos. You know, just go into as, you know, much detail. Add some extra links for them to research on their own. You know, just go above and beyond, and Google will actually recognize things like this. They'll look at your page in comparison to the others that are ranking, and say, hey, look at Steve's internet marketing page. It's got so much more and so much more relevant content about paid search that, you know, why not rank that like higher each, sort of, it doesn't just spike overnight. Rankings tend to take some time, but you know, when you create that kind of targeted content, you tend to do really well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk a bit, because if we're staying within the spirit of Jay Baer's utility, we're helping people, essentially. We're
absolutely,
we're being a utility for other people. So tell us more about how do we know what to blog about? Because I know that there are tons of businesses out there, whether they're offline, even a lot of online businesses, are really having troubles figuring out a strategy around bringing out their content. Very often it just happens to be, you know, a random blog post here and there. But how can we really begin to think more strategically in blogging?
So that's a great question, and one that I pretty much deal with on a daily basis. So with what we have sort of established at TechWise is to not think of your blog as a tool where you can sort of latch on to industry news. You know, you can talk about the new design of your office. You can sort of talk about, you know, was it somebody's birthday? Were you guys going out for a night or whatever? These kinds of things that we think add a personal sort of touch to our business. And that's fine to do sometimes. But really what I encourage our clients to do, and the types of blogs that I write for TechWise regularly, is to do something called evergreen content. So for anyone who's not familiar with what evergreen content is it's going to be content that's valuable not just today, but you know, next week, next year, even 5 years from now. And these are the types of things where you're answering questions that people have, right? So people, you know, if you're running a business, people come through your door, they call you, they email you, and they ask you questions. Well, if somebody's actually asking you those questions, you know, in a personal setting, like on the phone or in your business or even through email, chances are that other people are asking those questions online as well. And with your blogging strategy, if you focus on something that's evergreen, like let's say, for one example, one was a recent blog that I wrote was, how long does it take to rank in Google? People are asking that question constantly. They're not just, it's not just based on, one month where that's really popular. That those searches are being performed on a continual basis. And if you write a really great blog about that, you're going to get a lot of traffic over time, not just in that, brief window where it spikes and it comes down and then your blog is never to be seen again. With Evergreen, you're going to see that nice long, year over year traffic that comes in. And the way that benefits SEO is that, since your blog is found so often, it increases the likelihood that somebody will link to it. And when you get a link from another site, it's, it's like a vote, it's like an endorsement, and it can help your boost your overall ranking. So,
So how do we differentiate ourselves? Because for example, a company like yours, I'm sure that there are other companies like yours doing SEO as well, doing pay-per-click, doing content marketing and so forth, and helping people out with their marketing in general. How do you differentiate yourself? Because there are a ton of articles and blog posts and how-to guides and whatnot out there. I'm pretty sure that there are a lot of business owners thinking, oh, but it's already been done. This how-to guide has already been done. Someone else has already answered this question, and so forth. How do you differentiate yourself?
For me, it's more about like critical thinking and analysis. So when for example, I wrote a blog that was talking about how to get LinkedIn followers, and it's actually ranking quite well. At least when you search on Google.ca, I've not tried searching from Google.com and creating a proxy and seeing how I do all around the world, but at least in Canada, it's ranking fairly well. And when I wrote that blog, I did look at what other people have to say, and I just really took it upon myself to write the best blog possible. So one of the things that I did was I performed a site search on LinkedIn, and really just found all the links that they have and accumulated them in one place where it was super easy for a person to just say, oh, okay, well, I have to add buttons on my site, or I have to add a link to my email address, or I can invite my friends to LinkedIn, or I can, post jobs and that will help me. And I took all of those links and just created them in one post in a really easy to consume method, easy to consume way. And it just turns out, when you offer that sort of, you add more value than the people who are already on ranking for that term, you stand to have a really good chance in ranking for it. And it's not just Google who ranks it above you. Google will actually look at how users interact with certain pages on the SERP, on the search engine result page. So, over time, it'll sort of start to accumulate data on who clicks on what result, who stays on that page for longer, who bounces, ends up on that page and then goes right back and then goes to a different search result. And it begins to accumulate all that data over time and actually, looks at how many Facebook shares it has, looks at how many Google Plus shares, or likes or plus ones, whichever buttons you have on the page, which, by the way, I really recommend the share buttons because they're a lot more powerful. It looks at all those factors, and those are the sort of human input that we have that Google has to start, has started to rely on more and more. So it's not just simply about the keywords on the page, but it's also really about how people are going to react to your content and find it useful and share it.
Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily about, of course, it's about answering the right questions, but it's also answering the right questions in a more user-friendly way. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you don't want to have a blog that's got, you know, these really long paragraphs just as a wall of text and really unengaging, because what we also have to remember when you're blogging, and I'm sure we're all guilty of this, we don't go and read. We go and skim. We pick up our iPhone and we just kind of scroll through trying to get the major points, reading the bullet points, reading the headings, and sort of trying to get the most out of the article. And then if we find that it's really good, then we may read it. So the user friendliness can come down to also just, you know, simple things like creating headings, creating bullet points, adding pictures, adding video. And one other thing that I would also encourage you to do when you're blogging like this is to link out to other sources, because when Google sees you linking out to other authoritative articles on the subject, it actually says, hey, you know what, when I send this user to your page, this user may get even more out of just your blog. They may even, you know, be able to see this great site and this other, you know, article that's really in depth. So it's important to link out to other people as well.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So let's just get back to strategizing a little bit here. So one of the questions that we can ask ourselves, or one of the ways that we can prepare ourselves for writing articles and blogging and so forth, is to begin to collect all the different questions that our customers or our potential customers are asking out there. What else can we do in order to begin to create and form a content strategy?
Well, I think if we can look at that in two steps. First, the more granular ways that you can come up with content. So one of the favorite ways that I have is, say, I want to write about the latest Hummingbird update, so Google's algorithm update that they released a few months ago. We'll search for Hummingbird, and then, you know, I'll sort of press one space and see what other predictive results come up. You know how Google has that autocomplete kind of thing going mm-hmm. on with research results? Mm-hmm. So actually going just through like the different letters of the alphabet, seeing what comes up. You know, mm-hmm. The other thing too that you can do is scroll down to the bottom of the page and then look at the related searches. So that'll show you every people who are searching on a similar subject, what else are they searching about? That can give you a lot of insight. And as you look at those related searches, keep on clicking in them and looking at the other related searches. So, you get to see not just one angle, you get to sort of get exposed to a number of different angles. And that can give you a lot to blog about.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And then do you propose that we sort of go really structured about this, and, you know, week one I'm going to write this article, week two I'm going to write this article, that we sort of plan, because I hear from some business owners that they sort of plan out their entire year worth of content marketing. Is that smart, or is that a bit too stale to do it in that way?
I think it really depends on the business. You know, like if you're a clothing manufacturer and you're selling winter jackets right now, and then you're going to sell spring jackets and then summer apparel, then it really does make sense to have a wide-reaching content strategy. And same with, you know, just going even more niche, like somebody who'd sell something like hot tub covers. Okay, so we have a couple of clients who do this, and they're going to have some peak seasons as well, right? So they may want to write more of their content during those seasons and sort of plan it out. And of course, like, let's say somebody who's involved in landscaping or something like that, where it's seasonal, you're going to want to write content that's relevant to those seasons and definitely plan it out that way. But let's say you're an immigration law firm or a plastic surgeon or something like that, you're going to have pretty steady same type of business coming in all year round. It's good to write about recent developments, but it's also it's not that necessary to, you know, go so far in the future to plan your content strategy. So, you know, I think it can be done on sort of a quarterly basis with a lot of people. And then again, if you're, you've got like product launches to think about and all that, then you definitely want to, plan your content and of course your social media strategy around that too.
Mm-hmm, of course. So it completely depends on the nature of your business. So you mentioned hot tub covers, not just
yes.
hot tub, but hot tub covers. Now that's quite interesting. Tiny little niche. What, yeah. what would they be writing about? What could they be writing about?
Oh, well, can I just share with you my favorite blog of the year? And I don't know if you have a rating system in terms of who can download this podcast, but one of them was just simply asking the question, can you have sex in a hot tub cover? In a hot tub,
okay.
right? So,
okay.
I don't know, maybe that's the second follow-up blog to that, I'm not sure. But, you know, actually thinking creatively and seeing, you know, what types of questions are people asking there. Like people, you know, may ask that sort of question. Like, you know,
yeah.
like, so you really have to be creative and try and, you know, think sort of use some lateral thinking there and not just sort of spout the same stuff month after month, but you know there you can hit a wall with things, and if you do hit a wall, another thing that you can do is you can sort of go back and refresh your content. So what I would suggest doing is like going back through your Google Analytics and looking at what blogs performed the best, and then going and enhancing those blogs, and then you know bumping that date back up to the first page, and you'll find that you probably even increase the traffic for those blogs even more.
Mm-hmm. Of course, so it is okay to repurpose and reuse our old content as well.
Yeah, so just add some more value to it. Add a picture. See if you know. Produce a video. Videos are huge because, you know, we're talking about content so far and just in terms of blogs, but, you know, video content is 50 times easier to rank in search results than a regular blog would be. So if you can create an accompanying video to your blog post, you stand the chance to have that rank much, you know, have that video rank much easier than it would be for a piece of content, because people like video. They don't like to read generally. And so if you can do that, if you have the resources to do that, think about that as well.
Mm-hmm. And do you suggest that every single business out there incorporates content marketing as part of their general marketing strategy, or is this more for certain types of businesses?
Blogging?
Yeah.
I think it can be applied to anyone. You know, blogging can have, you know, different goals, right? So let's say you're a rapidly expanding business and you're just, you know, you've gone from 50 people to 300 people in 1 year, blogging may be your HR strategy, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, so it doesn't have to just serve one purpose, right? And you know, one other thing that I sort of have failed to mention about blogging thus far, which I'll mention now, is that when you sort of answer these questions that people are asking you of you online, it's you have to remember that like a lot of business owners will say, well, this isn't exactly what I offer. This isn't what my customers want to read. It's important to take a step back from all of that and understand that the blog has this potential to be sort of, you know, it's not your website. If we look at actually the in-page analytics for a blog, it's very rare that we see a high click percentage on the actual blog button itself. It's more likely that if you have a really good blog, you're having more of your traffic come through search. And you know, so it's important to realize that your blog is not a products and services page. You already have that. You have that mm-hmm. on your website is already. And you know, it's there's a whole number of reasons why you don't want to be constantly plugging your products on your blog. You know, social media is great for that, but to make that your core blogging strategy, it's likely to be a waste, because if you actually look at in your Google Analytics and look at something called in-page analytics, you'll see the percentage of people who click the different buttons on your website, and you'll actually notice that the people clicking on your blog is pretty low. So, you know, keep your products and services on that section of your website. Keep your blog for sort of answering and creating that evergreen content that, you know, has the potential to be sort of this ongoing link generating machine that can increase your web rankings by virtue of the fact that people are finding to it and linking to it and sharing it.
Mm-hmm. And do you suggest, you know, let's say for a mid-sized business with a couple of employees and so forth, is everyone blogging, or is this sort of the designated specialist who is doing this?
That's a great question. I've definitely run into the situation where you walk into a client's office and they say, we've got a blog, and you know, John and Susan and Jim, they kind of all contribute to the blog. But, you know, it tends to be the case where, you know, there'll be months that go by and nobody's writing for the blog. So it's actually really important to keep it consistent. And you know, when you don't have somebody who you can designate full-time, you can come to a company like TechWise and work with a, you know, person like me and my network of writers to come up with a strategy for your business and actually create that content for you and work really closely with you to make sure that, you know, it's the type of stuff that is relevant to your business and, you know, has the right strategy going on in terms of that evergreen, in terms of that, you know, not wanting to just be a venue for your product and services, but to actually help you with your overall rankings.
Mm-hmm. So how exactly, so when a client comes to you with help for blogging and well, content marketing in general, what's the process?
Well, that concludes part one of this interview with Steve Todd, but not to worry, we'll be back with part two tomorrow. And in the meantime, I want to thank you so much for being here and for listening to Born to Influence. I so appreciate you. And I want to invite you to our private Facebook group where you will get to connect with all the other influencers and also access all kinds of resources and information that we share there that we just don't get to do here on the show. And you can get there in one of two ways. Either type into your browser borntoinfluencecommunity.com, or if you happen to be on Facebook right now, just type in the search bar there, Born to Influence Community, and it will take you to the group's page. Now, once you're there, just click on the join button. That way you will request access, I'll approve you, and you'll be in. And otherwise, I'll see you tomorrow with part two of this interview with Steve Todd. Same time, same place.